The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist.
We switch you now to London.
I'm standing on a rooftop looking out over London.
Good night and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight. With Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago, and from our desk in Washington, Frank Reynolds.
Good evening.
This historic legislation, the telecommunications law, will create many, many high wage jobs, will create opportunity and better lives for all Americans.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
All right, it's Tuesday. That means the start of a brand new week here at the Nicole Sandler Show. Welcome to, and I hope your weekend was a good one. To me, it's just, it's insane. All the days run together and all the news is all mushed together. And, we're in one of those times where it's really hard to digest everything that's going on. I will do my best with some of, what we bring to you in today's show. Some of it may confuse you a little more. I've got a lot in What's News today, but news happened after I did What's News, so we can start with some of that. South Korean President Moon Jae-in is in Washington today. He met with Trump amid signs that the scheduled summit with North Korea may be in jeopardy. And oh my God, this after the Trump administration already minted their commemorative coins. I shit you not. They minted commemorative coins for the summit between Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un, despite the fact that it may never happen. And on it, there's the inscriptions on it. It has President Trump and Supreme Leader Kim Jong-un. Really? That's the title they put on there for the leader of North Korea. I know that's what he likes his people to call him, but really, in a U.S. minted commemorative coin, I'm just beyond. After the two of them spoke, Moon Jae-in and Trump, they didn't do their traditional, you know, Rose Garden ceremony two and two questions, but there was a pool spray in the Oval Office. And Trump did take some questions, one about how the summit may not work out at all.
Conditions for a meeting with Kim Jong-un,
you said? Well, I'd rather not say, but we are working on something. And, you know, there's a chance that it'll work out. There's a chance, there's a very substantial chance that it won't work out. I don't want to waste a lot of time, and I'm sure he doesn't want to waste a lot of time. So there's a very substantial chance that it won't work out, and that's okay. That doesn't mean it won't work out over a period of time. But it may not work out for June 12th. But there's a good chance that we'll have the meeting.
It may work out, but it may not work out. But there's a good chance it may work out, but it still not may work out. But it may work out at a future time. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I ask more questions. He shows he's incoherent.
Yes. President, have you spoken to Kim Jong-un?
I don't want to say that.
I don't want to say that?
There's no reason to discuss that. I can say this, that for a short period of time, we've been dealing with North Korea, and it's been a, you know, good experience. We have three hostages back. They're home. They're living with their families. They're very, very happy. And so I can only speak for a very short period of time, but it's been
relationship where you
that
keep repeating
seems
yourself
to be working, and we'll see how long it continues to work. Hopefully it's going to work for a long time.
Yeah, we'll see. Let's see what else. There was all kinds of stuff. He went on a weird rant over China trade. He berated here. This was an interesting one.
Do you have confidence in Rod Rosenstein?
Do you have confidence in Rod Rosenstein?
What's your next question, please?
So the reporter asked him, do you have confidence in Rod Rosenstein? And he just ignored her and went and looked at someone else and said, what's your next question, please? And then he goes back to the reporter to explain why, ostensibly, he didn't answer the question.
Do you have confidence in Rod Rosenstein?
What's your next question, please?
I'm a reporter from...
Excuse me, I have the president of South Korea here.
Yes.
Okay.
I have a question.
He doesn't want to hear these questions, if you don't...
He doesn't want to hear these questions, if you don't mind. Well, those are the questions we want to hear. Yeah. And they did get to some of them. We have the story coming up in What's News. You know what? I'll get to that in a minute. But he did get to the whole issue of spies in his campaign. There were not spies in his campaign. Let me just point this out. The best reporting that I could find from the Washington Post that pulls this whole informant story together says that the informant tried to gather information from Trump advisors after the FBI obtained evidence that those advisors had questionable contacts involving Russia. So that is as part of a legitimate counterintelligence investigation. But when he's asked about it, of course, he goes off on a tangent.
Mr. President, can you tell us more about your meeting with Rod Rosenstein and Director Wray yesterday?
No, just a very routine meeting. As you know, the Congress would like to see documents opened up. A lot of people are saying they had spies in my campaign. If they had spies in my campaign, that would be a disgrace to this country.
That
would be one of the biggest insults that anyone's ever seen, and it would be very illegal. Aside from everything else, it would make probably every political event ever look like small potatoes. So we want to make sure that there weren't. I hope there weren't, frankly. But some man got paid based on what I read in the newspapers.
What?
And on what you reported, some person got paid a lot of money. That's
oh,
not
I see.
A normal
not based
situation,
on what
the
you
kind of money
you're
talking about.
I got.
Hopefully that would be. And I think the Department of Justice wants to get down to it. And I can tell you Congress does. So hopefully they'll all be able to get together. General Kelly is going to be setting up a meeting between Congress and the various representatives, and they'll be able to open up documents, take a look, and find out what happened. But if they had spies in my campaign, during my campaign, for political purposes, that would be unprecedented in the history of our country.
Yes, it would be. And it still hasn't happened. There were not spies for political purposes in your campaign. It had to do with the fact that three of your advisors had questionable contacts involving Russia. And that is the job of the FBI, to investigate those types of questionable contacts. So it was an informant who the Washington Post has named. I'm not going to name this man. But there's a lot of stuff out there on the Washington Post. We cover some of it in What's News. But before we get to that, Chuck Schumer took to the Senate floor. Do I have that? Yes. This morning, to call out the White House for its response to the DOJ investigation into Russian interference in the 2016 presidential campaign.
Over the past few days, the White House has put extraordinary, unusual, and inappropriate pressure on the Department of Justice and the investigation into Russian meddling in the 2016 election. On Sunday, the president demanded a counter-investigation of the Russia investigation, breaking long-standing and critical norms against political interference in law enforcement matters. Then yesterday, the president summoned the leaders of the Russia probe to the White House to pressure them into releasing sensitive and classified documents pertaining to the investigation of congressional the investigation by congressional Republicans. Let me repeat that. The White House planned to arrange a meeting where highly classified and other information will be shared with members of Congress is highly irregular, inappropriate, and unprecedented. The president and his staff should not be involved in reviewing or dissemination of sensitive investigatory information involving any open investigation, let alone one about the activities of his own campaign. It's amazing. It is what you hear happening in third world countries.
Yes, it is.
The leader says, nope, I'm above the law, and interferes with the process of law. Congress has a right to oversight, and to know what's going on after an investigation is complete. While an investigation is open and active, demands for oversight are tantamount to interference, especially when the folks demanding the information are the most biased, irresponsible actors. A man like Devin Nunes, who I hear privately from my Republican colleagues, they think he's off the deep end. And he's going to get hold of this? And we think that's for fair, unbiased oversight? Give me a break. If such a meeting occurs, and I don't believe it should, but if it occurs, it must be bipartisan to serve as a check on the disturbing tendency of the president's allies to distort facts and undermine the investigation and people conducting it.
Yeah, good luck.
Democratic members of the House and Senate, the analogs of the Republicans selected to be in the room, should be in the room as well. So if Devin Nunes is there, Adam Schiff should be there.
Should be is the operative phrase there. Should be. It is getting tense and ugly. I mean, it's like things are squeezing ever tighter and tighter and tighter, and you're just waiting for something to explode. I know my stomach feels that way. Aside from all the personal stress I have in my life, I've got all this political stress going on. Unbelievable. Something's got to give, right? Well, the good news is it's Tuesday, so Gotta Laugh is here. So let's take some time out for what's news and get the rest of the bit of news that we bring to you today, and then come back with Gotta Laugh as we make our way through her Twitter feed and find out what else is news.
I read the news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
From the New York Times, the president has seized on reports that the FBI sent an informant to talk to three of his advisors during the 2016 presidential election and contended that meant his campaign was infiltrated for political purposes. On Sunday, Trump tweeted, quote, "I hereby demand, and will do so officially tomorrow, that the Department of Justice look into whether or not the FBI, DOJ infiltrated or surveilled the Trump campaign for political purposes, and if any such demands or requests were made by people within the Obama administration." Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer spoke on the Senate floor Monday.
The Department of Justice is required to follow the law, not the political bidding of the president, particularly when they're investigating him. The president's demand is a blatant abuse of executive power, an ill-informed, sloppy attempt to discredit the duly constituted investigation led by the special counsel. As we speak, the president is reportedly meeting with Justice Department officials to press his case, even after they've already called on the inspector general to look into this matter. The president's behavior is the kind of grossly autocratic behavior we'd expect in a banana republic, not a mature democracy. By now, we should all recognize that President Trump's latest demand is just another example of a relentless campaign to distract from the serious wrongdoing being uncovered by the Russia probe.
After a meeting at the White House on Monday with Trump, FBI Director Chris Wray, Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein, and Director of National Intelligence Dan Coats, Rosenstein agreed to request that the Justice Department's Inspector General investigate the investigators. Adam Schiff, ranking member of the House Intelligence Committee, weighed in.
Well, I think second to the firing of Comey, this is the most direct assault on the independence of the Justice Department, the most direct effort to interfere with its investigation of the Trump campaign. It's deeply disturbing. Obviously, it puts the Justice Department in a very difficult position. Normally, you would expect if the Congress were trying to erode the department's independence or compromise an investigation, that the president would protect the department. And conversely, if the president were trying to do it, the Congress would protect the department. But here we have a weak speaker. We have members of Congress that are only too happy to be complicit with the president in beating down the independence of the Justice Department. And this is a major threat to the rule of law. I think they're trying to figure out how do they skin this cat at the Justice Department. How do they not be, on the one hand, insubordinate to a order of the president, but on the other hand, make sure that they don't erode the independence of the Justice Department. So they've kicked it to the Inspector General. I have to say, I am concerned with some of the comments of the Deputy Attorney General suggesting, well, we'll look in to find out whether there's any legitimate concern about a politically embedded spy. They know that's nonsense, and I hate to see them say anything to give it credence.
Tell us why it's nonsense.
Well, because it simply didn't happen. And when you hear reports, was just related, that there is concern within the White House about this, there's not concern within the White House about this. There is a sense of opportunity. Let's exploit anything, any doubt we can create. This is a defense strategy. Put the government on trial. When the evidence looks increasingly incriminating of your client, in this case the president, put the investigators on trial. And that's all they're trying to do here. And the question is, will the Congress go along with it? And sadly, you have a few members of Congress who are actively helping the president in this. And then the rest, in terms of the governing party, are remaining silent.
Politico is reporting that Trump uses a White House cell phone that isn't equipped with sophisticated security features designed to shield his communications because he feels it's too inconvenient. This according to two senior administration officials. Trump reportedly uses two iPhones, one capable of only making calls, the other equipped with the Twitter app and a handful of news sites. The president has gone as long as 5 months without having the phone checked by security experts. The Supreme Court on Monday ruled that companies can use arbitration clauses in employment contracts to prohibit workers from banding together to take legal action over workplace issues. The vote was 5-4 with the court's more conservative justices in the majority. The court's decision could affect some 25 million employment contracts. A CBS News YouGov poll asked Democrats, independents, and those who lean toward voting for Democrats to choose between two options for what Democratic candidates' first priority should be. A full 72% said they want to see party candidates prioritize a progressive political agenda. The remaining 28% opted for merely opposing Donald Trump's agenda. It's primary day in Arkansas, Georgia, and Kentucky, and runoff day in Texas. In Texas, four progressives face off against establishment candidates. Georgia Democrats may nominate Stacey Abrams, who could be the nation's first black female governor. And that's a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a donation. My work is 100% listener-funded, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com/donate.
You're listening to the Nicole Sandler Show on Progressive Voices and NicoleSandler.com.
And now, it's time for the Nicole Sandler Show segment, Shooting the Shit with Laffy.
Yes, it is Tuesday, everybody. So welcome to it. It's every Tuesday we get together with our pal, Gotta Laugh, and we dish on the news. But we first got to get her on the line. Hello?
Well, yes, you've reached the Trump spell check hotline.
Oh, okay.
Press 1 if you think when Trump misspelled his own wife's name in a tweet, she immediately challenged him to spell NDA. Press 2 if you think when Trump was called out for misspelling collusion with two S's, Trump immediately brag tweeted, "I have the world's biggest ass." Press 3 if you think Trump not only needs a spell check, he needs a lie check.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Have a nice day.
A lie check. A big, big old fat lie check.
A big old one. Yeah. This week, what's going on? Oh, my God. Everything. You covered a lot of what I have in my tweets.
Good.
And then I have a bunch of stuff that you didn't. So, okay. Or that you did, but with commentary. So
sure.
We should probably get to it because I have a ton of them.
Okay. Well, then let's just jump right in.
Sure.
The birdies are waiting.
Welcome to my tweet.
So what's your Twitter buzzing about these days?
Well, first of all, I want to thank you for having the show now during Huckabee's White House lying session because I don't have to watch it.
Oh, so she's really doing one today because she didn't do one Friday and she didn't do one yesterday. And I was sensing a new trend here.
I was hoping, but no. She says that they remain clear-eyed in North Korea With the negotiations, I see a little Chiron, but that's about all. I'm not keeping track. Okay, so I don't know if this is a parody of a real account, but Jacob Wohl, W-O-H-L, he's a guy that every time Trump tweets, if you go look at all the replies to the tweets, everybody tweeting back at him, this guy does about a million supportive tweets every time. Like, you know, yeah, MAGA, duh, you know, he's a big Trump supporter. So according to this web, I don't know if it's a mock-up or if it's real, but somebody sent it to me. It says, right now, this is from Jacob Wohl, right now, one person is worried about impeachment, and it's not President Trump. And then he has a hashtag, impeach Obama.
Yeah.
And then Evan Rosenfeld from NBC says, who wants to tell him?
Yeah, I saw that, and I didn't get it. I mean, I don't know what he's trying to get at. You want to impeach Obama from what, his new Netflix deal?
I don't know, because you can't impeach Obama, so I don't know. Anyway, that was a throw-in at the last minute. So, yeah, going on about the cell phone issue.
Yes.
I have a little thread I did. I'll try to skip the ones you covered, but I said, okay, not only is he an idiot, he's reckless as hell.
Yeah.
Because he's using the White House cell phone that's not equipped with security features. And he says that he actually has rebuffed staff efforts to strengthen security around his phone use. So, you know, people are trying to get him to, you know, keep the country safe. Nothing much.
And you know, when Obama first came into office and he wanted to use his BlackBerry, there was this huge brouhaha over Obama wanting to use his BlackBerry. And in the end, he did what he was told to do for national security purposes.
Right. And I'll do one better on that. At the very end of this thread, I have a quote: Trump campaigned in part on his denunciations of Hillary Clinton's use of a private email server as Secretary of State, a system that made classified information vulnerable to hacking by hostile actors. So, yeah, there was that. Then you covered the thing where he has two iPhones, one with Twitter, one with news sites that they load in. Let's see. Too inconvenient. You covered that. 5 months, you covered that. It's been 5 months without a phone check by security experts. You covered, okay, so compare and contrast. I think you covered this. Obama handed over his phones every 30 days to be examined to make sure nothing was going on. And Trump's call-capable cell phone has a camera and microphone, unlike the White House-issued cell phones used by Obama. Keeping those components creates a risk that hackers could use them to access the phone and monitor the president's movements. And then a China and tech expert, there's a quote saying, it's baffling that Trump isn't taking baseline cybersecurity measures at a time when he's trying to negotiate his way out of a trade war with China, a country that is known for using cyber tactics to gain the upper hand in business negotiations.
Incredible.
There's that.
It's incredible.
And finally, Chris Hayes comments, going to be wild when the White House cancels the North Korea summit and North Korea responds by uploading sound files of every phone conversation Trump has had over the last year and a half.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. I mean, this is, he is the stupidest idiot.
America, you did this. I sometimes think this is just a nightmare and I'll wake up from it and this didn't really happen. I mean, think back to before Election Day 2016. I mean, I know some people were warning us that he was going to win. Deep down, I never believed he could win. It was a fear, but I didn't believe he could win because this is what we have. And it is inconceivable. I just realized it has now been a year and a half since Election Day. He hasn't even been in office a year and a half yet, but it's been a year and a half since Election Day. This is going to keep going at a glacial pace. This is going to be the longest 4 years ever, if we make it.
If we make it. And also, again, he will not be, he may maybe impeached if we win the House, I really don't know if we'll do that. But he will not be convicted in the Senate unless, because we have to have a huge majority in the Senate in order to get him convicted.
67.
Yeah. So, it's not going to happen. If he is impeached, which, again, it may very well not happen because the Democrats have sort of come out and said it's not worth it. We'd lose politically, just like what happened with Clinton, where you know the Democrats, his ratings went up, and the Democrats benefited because of his impeachment. So, you know, people who count on all this stuff, they better think twice about it. It may not happen.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, so the New Yorker has an article. The diplomat who quit the Trump administration. For John Feeley, F-E-E-L-E-Y, the ambassador to Panama, moral failings at home seem to compound tactical failings abroad. Okay, I just want to read you the opening paragraph.
Okay.
Because it's stunning to me. And then the rest goes on and it's very long. But the opening paragraph, John Feeley, the ambassador to Panama, and a former, and this isn't a tweet, this is something that was tweeted out and I followed up, you know, with the article,
right.
And a former Marine helicopter pilot, is not averse to strong language, but he was nevertheless startled by his first encounter with President Donald Trump. Summoned to deliver a briefing in June 2017, he was outside the Oval Office when he overheard Trump concluding a heated conversation. Quote, "Fuck him, tell him to sue the government." Feeley was escorted in and saw that Mike Pence, John Kelly, and several other officials were in the room. As he took a seat, Trump asked, "So tell me, what do we get from Panama? What's in it for us?" Feeley presented a litany of benefits, help with counter-narcotics work and migration control, commercial efforts linked to the Panama Canal, a close relationship with the current president, Juan Carlos Varela. And when he finished, Trump chuckled and said, "Who knew?" He then turned the conversation to the Trump International Hotel and Tower in Panama City. "How about the hotel?" he said. "We still have the tallest building on the skyline down there."
Oh, God.
Oh, that's a question. "We still have the tallest building on the skyline down there?" That's the opening paragraph to this New Yorker article.
Wow.
I mean, what?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Ugh.
This,
you know, I can't.
I'm looking at, you know, Lauren Mayer, who does all the parody songs. She's really funny.
Sure.
She has one called, and I've had it up on my board for a while. I just haven't gotten around to playing it. It's called "This Isn't Normal." This isn't normal. None of this is normal. None of this is acceptable.
I don't know.
In a civilized world, none of this is normal.
And not only that, people are calling it the new normal, but I prefer to call it the new abnormal, because there's nothing normal about
nothing it. Nothing normal.
Even though it's become the norm, it's not normal.
Exactly.
Uh-uh. Ugh. Oh.
You know, the story about the phone, any other administration, that would be huge. That would be huge news, a big scandal that would, you know, be front page news. And because there's all this other stuff going on, it's going to take a back burner and it'll disappear by tomorrow.
Well, same with the Feeley thing. I mean, that opening paragraph is stunning.
Yes. And it's not going to be a blip. You know,
that was yesterday that I got that no one's talking about it. What? How could no one talk about that? Come on. Anyway, well, maybe Rachel Maddow will, because she tends to go for stories that other people don't cover, but that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Chris Hayes will. I don't know. All right. So Marshall Cohen of CBS and CNN. Oh, he was with CBS. He's with CNN now. He tweeted, whoa, DHS Secretary Kristen Nielsen told a colleague of his moments ago that she is, quote, not aware of the U.S. intel community's conclusion that Putin specifically tried to help Trump win. Here's the very clear-cut assessment from the DNI, FBI, CIA, and NSA. And he does a screen grab. Daniel Dale of the Toronto Star said, "I waited before tweeting this so I could see the transcript because it seemed too ridiculous to be true, but it's true."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, this is going around. I have one from Digby. Kristen Nielsen says she didn't know that the intelligence community had concluded that Russia tried to help Donald Trump. She also said she didn't know that Norway was a majority white country. The Homeland Security director backs up her dear leader.
Yeah, what? You know, after every one of these things, all I'm going to just now say is, what?
that's
all that comes to mind.
Yep, and Digby followed up on that by saying, and some reporters on CNN didn't think it was fair to ask her about the intelligence community consensus because it would get her in trouble with the president if she answered it honestly.
That's what's
really at risk here is you know, that his people realize that they can't be at all critical because he responds with payback.
But, you know, that shouldn't be an issue, because if you know he's going to do it, Then you warn everybody, hey, look what he's going to do to me, and I'm going to tell you this, and then quit. Because if that's what you're getting, if that's the way he treats you, you shouldn't be working for him in the first place.
Yeah.
And if you're not more loyal to the country than you are to this one person who claims to be a president, then you shouldn't be doing this. This is just horrendous.
Right.
This is,
well, apparently he has berated Kristen Nielsen in public many times. He did it at a cabinet meeting.
Oh, that's right.
Because border crossings are allegedly up a little bit. And why can't you do your job? I want the border closed down, and continuously like berated her. To the point where she told some people she was thinking of quitting. Well, then just quit already. Everybody with any backbone should quit and leave him. But then that fucks us as a nation even more.
Yeah, right, because he ends up with somebody. But the other thing is she'd be quitting over the insult, not over what he's doing.
Exactly.
It's just horrendous. Everything is – and what was – you were referring to the story – where the White House is going to be receiving classified information about the investigation into the person reading the classified information, you know?
Yep.
Well, another thing that's so awful about that is it's setting a terrible precedent, because now not only could that happen again, but also the accusations of being infiltrated by was it the FBI? Or whoever they say infiltrated, that's another terrible precedent that they're setting. All this stuff that they're doing and people are accepting and asking for information and investigations into is setting a terrible precedent.
Yeah.
Wait till it happens to them.
Distrust of the Justice Department, of our intelligence communities, more than that was already there. And the thing is, it was always the Republicans who were in bed with the FBI and the CIA. And if you look, all of those investigators, all of those lawyers who are on the Mueller probe, they're all Republicans. As much as Trump wants to paint them as Democrats and they worked for Obama, whatever he wants to say about them, they're all Republicans, from Mueller to Rosenstein to McCabe to you name them, to Comey. They're all Republicans because historically they've always been Republicans. It's been the Democrats who have been questioning, you know, where they're. Not their loyalties. I don't think Democrats who've been on the outs with the intelligence community have ever questioned their loyalty.
No, that hasn't been an issue. And also, it sets a terrible precedent because people who would ordinarily want to share classified information with the United States will no longer do it because they know it'll come out or they'll be revealed.
Yep. Exactly.
It's just like what happened with Valerie Plame.
Yep. Yep.
And plus the lives endangered. I mean, that's a given that if you out somebody, then you're outing more than just them. And a lot of people are at risk of being killed or, you know, any kind of exposure can, even if you're not killed, it imprisonment or whatever.
Whatever. Outed. Like this so-called informant, you know, the so-called spy. He worked for the FBI. They heard disturbing news about three people working on Trump's campaign, being in bed with, you know, having contact with Russians, and so they went to investigate. And
they did their job.
They did their job, and now this guy has been outed.
Right. Yeah. Right. I don't know why they felt they could publish that. Was it the Washington Post that did it first? I don't remember.
Well, it was like the Daily Caller or somebody who did it first, and then
did they? Yeah. And then they picked it up.
Yeah.
Okay, well, they shouldn't have. And you know, it's one thing for people in Congress and for Trump to threaten, you know, oh my God, this guy's a big infiltrator, which is completely false. But to put his name out there and then to publish it is so stupid. Mm-hmm. So stupid.
Yep. Evan McMullen. Who ran for president? He's a Republican, although former CIA, although he did run as an independent. Tweeted, "I'm increasingly concerned for our nation. When the president works to expose law enforcement sources contributing to an investigation of himself, while ordering specious counterprobes of investigators, he's using presidential power to hold himself above the law and the people."
Exactly.
Welcome to what our new abnormal is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, my God. Okay, so on to North Korea. Eric Geller of Politico, he tweeted, okay, so they're Dealmaker president contends with North Korea expectations is the headline. He said Trump, quote, has not been deeply engaged in briefing materials on North Korea's nuclear program and has instead, quote, been almost singularly focused on the pageantry of the summit.
Yes. Well, it's true. I mean, they got the commemorative coin made up. That's more important than the intricacies of the actual program, what he's supposed to be negotiating. And that's why on this end, he's probably looking for an out.
Oh, yeah. And he's starting to blame China.
Mm-hmm.
He let that come in today. So it's a dangerous and really sick situation that's going on here. It's dangerous because the obvious reasons, but it's sick because of the way he's doing it, because it's all about him. It's all about his needs, his desperation to look important and to have accomplished something that he thinks nobody else has. So he does all these deranged and says all these deranged things that endanger the entire world, really. So anyway, John Dean.
Yes.
He's commenting here on the headline. Who is? Oh, here's the outed. Who is Stefan Halper, the FBI source who assisted the Russia investigation? And John Dean says there's nothing here for Trump to make Halper an Obama spy. Harper is a longtime Republican and academic. I remember him at the Nixon White House. I'm outing Harper for Nunes. Trump is merely showing more of his incompetence, which is endless. Oh, I'm sorry. In outing Harper for I'm half asleep.
And you're also reading his typos on the guy's name, but that's okay.
Oh, am I? I'm sorry.
John Dean.
Totally got that went away too. My brain's half working today. Halper is a longtime Republican and academic. Thank you. In outing Halper. Harper for Nunes, Trump is merely showing more of his incompetence, which is endless. Again, forgive me. I was up at 3 a.m. with the puppy.
No, that's not your fault. John Dean twice, used a typo on the guy's name.
Should have caught that, though. Okay. Ilan Goldenberg, who is a Middle East security director at CNAS, former deep stater, he says. He says, talking about chances of China trade win undercut by Trump team infighting, he said, one. Oh, this is a threat. I'll just read you his part. He quotes a lot of things I won't bother to read because they're long. He says, as someone who was part of diplomatic talks, this story on how Trump team screwed up China negotiations is a textbook case of nearly every single thing in caps you should not do. Bodes badly for North Korea summit. Let's pick it apart step by grueling step. And he's not kidding. Before the talks, fail to prepare. Don't have sufficient deliberations to come to a common negotiation position as a team.
Right.
This is where you need an engaged POTUS to listen to the disagreements among the team and set guidance. Of course, Trump won't do that. That was the first thing he said. Then next, during the talks, because you failed to prepare, have profanity-laced shouting matches amongst yourselves in front of the Chinese, encouraging them to exploit splits in the U.S. team. And then he shows that Navarro had a shouting match with Mnuchin.
Mm-hmm.
Next, have the president publicly tweet sensitive concessions he plans to make, causing a backlash in Congress that shuts down those options before they've even been offered or negotiated. Now you've taken away your negotiating space, and he quotes something. Next, also, leak China's concession to the press, causing them to have to deny the concessions publicly and forcing the Chinese to and take a harder line. Now you've taken away your counterpart's negotiating space. And he does a quote. After the talks fail, have various members of the team come out with different positions that publicly criticize the results of the negotiations and each other, because that sends a good signal before the next negotiating round. And he explains that. Almost done here. Top it off with a front-page New York Times story where clearly many of the U.S. negotiators disparaged each other to the press, because I'm sure they'll now work really well as a team going forward. And one more, good luck with the North Korea summit. Glad we got rid of the JCPOA to negotiate a better deal. And, of course, we'll get the ultimate deal on Israel-Palestine. God help us all.
Right. That's a good thread. I don't know if you saw what Marco Rubio tweeted.
No.
He said, wrote, sadly, China is out negotiating the administration and winning the trade talks right now. They have avoided tariffs and got a ZTE deal without giving up anything meaningful in return by using North Korea talks and agriculture issues as leverage. This is hashtag not winning.
Well, I've got some on that ZTE thing, too. Okay. Whatever.
Yeah, so great. He's speaking out against Trump, but he's not doing it, from the right side, if you know what I mean.
Right, and not only that, every time a Republican speaks out against Trump, they vote with him. So
yes, and he continues to vote with him in complete support with him. So yeah,
completely
there we go.
Meaningless. I mean, it's nice to hear words, but you know,
yeah.
Peter Alexander had a couple of quotes from that summit. Trump casting new doubts on the summit. If it doesn't happen, maybe it will happen later. You never know about deals. I made a lot of deals. You never really know. And it may not work out for June 12th. Art of the deal, right?
Right.
I mean, I expected him to say in a very short period of time, and he did.
He did. He said, it may work out. It may not work. Well, that's that clip I'm going to play it again, just because he contradicts himself so many times. It's only 25 seconds.
Here we go. Okay. For a meeting with Kim Jong-un, you said you
I'd rather not say, but we are working on something. And, you know, there's a chance that it'll work out. There's a chance. There's a very substantial chance that
there's
it won't
a chance
work out.
It won't
I don't
work
want to waste
out.
A lot of time. And I'm sure he doesn't want to waste a lot of time. So there's a very substantial chance that it won't work out, and that's okay. That doesn't mean it won't
work out
over a period of time.
But
it may not work out for June 12th. But there's a good chance that we'll have the meeting.
Oh, my God.
At least three times he said, it may work out, but it may not work out.
Oh,
but it may work out over a substantial period of time, but it may not work out.
That's one of those clips that you're going to want to refer to in about 2 weeks.
Yep.
And you got to keep it on hand.
That's I will save
too
it.
Good. It's like ping pong.
Yep.
And then our buddy twin mom Sue said, which you've covered, what should we do with the commemorative coins? This is just so sad, but it's funny. And I said, don't worry, Trump's still eligible for the Nobel Peace Prize. Sorry, I had to. I couldn't.
That's where I need my rim shot. Then I'm bummed.
Yeah, putting bump. Okay, here's one that is disgusting. It made me so upset.
Okay.
There's a picture of a grizzly bear.
Oh.
It looks like a grizzly bear standing in water, looking adorable and looking like a bear should. And there's birds all around and it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have NBC News say the Trump administration is moving to reverse Obama-era rules barring hunters on some public lands in Alaska from baiting brown bears with bacon and donuts and using spotlights to shoot mother black bears and cubs hibernating in their dens.
It's sickening. Everything about this
man
is sickening.
I can't. It's this and climate change reporting that I can't. I know it's there. I glance at it because I have to be educated, but I can't deal with it. I get so very upset, and the only thing I can do about it is, of course, to donate and vote, and use my voice, which I do. I feel so helpless that I can't bear to read these stories.
I hear you. I'm right there with you.
Okay, so here's a Roger Stone. Now remember, Roger Stone told me to choke on my own hypocrisy and called me a bitch on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
So Tim Mack of NPR says, as Roger Stone is circled by Mueller, he's trying to make things hard for his opponents. Since he doesn't have to present documents electronically, he's considering printing out 2 trailer trucks worth of paper to hand over to congressional committees. And then he says, because I can.
What an asshole.
He's such a dick. He is such a dick. Oh, my God.
Asshole.
It's a brand new story about the brand new world's biggest asshole.
Asshole.
His name is
Roger Stone.
And he's the new world's biggest asshole.
Oh, yeah. Asshole.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just had to throw that. I'm sorry. That's just really an asshole move. 2 trailer trucks full of papers because just to fuck with them.
Yeah. Yeah, that's who he is. And that's the nicest side of him. So Frank Thorpe of NBC was tweeting a quote from Trump. South Korea, China, and Japan, and I've spoken to all three. I think it might have been in your thing here. They will be willing to help, and I believe invest very, very large sums of money into, get ready, helping to make North Korea great. MNKGA, Minkaga, make North Korea great again.
You know, he's more concerned about making North Korea great again and making China great again than he is with making America great again. What happened to that? What happened to jobs here?
Yeah, speaking of which, I put out a tweet earlier, a tweet of an article that said Harley Davidson is closing up. God, I wish I had my thing.
A plant.
A plant, but I'm trying to find, I don't know how many jobs. It was a few hundred jobs. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to find if I have it. Yes, Harley Davidson is shutting down a U.S. factory and moving jobs to Bangkok after cashing in on Trump's tax plan.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's it, right?
Yep.
Okay, so after that Make North Korea Great Again, our buddy, again, Twin Mom Sue, said, I heard Pompeo's interview on one of the Sunday morning news shows. He stated that North Korea will benefit not only from tax dollars, but from private investors. President Stupid wants to privatize North Korea.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I saw that too.
Yeah. All right, so Fred Kaplan of Slate. He's a columnist. He said, Trump thinks Kim changed his tune after the second meeting with Xi. Kim's view has been the same for months. The only new thing was Bolton demanding a Libya approach to North Korea disarmament. So, you know, Trump just says what he wants to say.
Yep. Well, putting Bolton in there seems to be what turned everything sour.
Yeah, I noticed the timing was impeccable. That was, you know, Bolton in. And out comes crap. So
yep.
Now here's something from our buddy Cliff. He was responding to John Cornyn, Senator John Cornyn, who tweeted, oh, I'm going to get the name screwed up. Antonios Pagourtsis, father of accused Texas shooter, says 17-year-old son was a good boy who had been mistreated at school. So Cliff says, so to be clear here, Mr. Cornyn, after doing absolutely nothing to protect lives of your constituents just murdered, you're now defending murderer who posted neo-Nazi imagery throughout his social media? You're a peach. When are you going to be up for re-election again, 2020? We will remember.
We will remember. But, you know, the outrage on guns is different here in Parkland, Florida, than it is in Houston, Texas.
Yes. Yes, I've seen that. I've read that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Maggie Haberman, she's tweeting, I'm going to read the tweet next, but this comes from the Fourth Estate panel for the Showtime series.
Oh.
I don't know. I'm not familiar, but
it's a new series that hasn't started yet. It starts in June, and it's like a four-parter that I'm looking forward to because it looks great. That's on journalism. So this.
Okay. So an Intercept editor, Vanessa Gazzari, she tweeted, Leslie Stahl asked Trump in semi-private meeting why he's always attacking the press. His answer, quote, I want to demean you and discredit you so that when you do negative stories about me, no one will believe you.
Wow.
He actually said it. He went
there. Wow. And that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Well, his sense.
Right. It makes sense for him because it's how he gets his followers. It's all gaslighting. It's the gaslighting.
But he said it out loud. I mean, he actually said it.
Wow.
Wowzies. I mean, come on, at least have a pretense, but all right. And Daniel Dale, here's a joke from head of the U.S. military special ops.
Wait, I thought you said that Maggie Haberman had a tweet in response to that.
No. I was saying that she set it up as the Showtime thing.
Okay.
Yeah. So I got it from her.
Gotcha.
Okay. So Daniel Dale said, here's a joke from the head of the U.S. military special ops, and it's Paul McCleary. And, he says, Special Ops Leader, I'm sorry, Paul McCleary is the one reporting this.
Right.
Special Ops Leader General Tony Thomas just joked that the mayor of Tampa will, quote, take it out on the media with the 50 caliber tomorrow after demonstration. Good times.
Wow. And that's supposed to be a joke. Jokes are supposed to be funny.
Isn't that funny? Are you laughing yet?
No, I can't find the humor in it.
No.
I'm
just gobsmacked. Okay, those were from today. We still have yesterday's to go through.
Mm-hmm.
Because we can.
we can.
And we will. As many as we can.
Yeah, anyway. Let me give you one from today that I found before
okay.
you go. A couple of things. E.J. Dionne said Trump regularly says, quote, that he views law enforcement as merely an instrument. This is from the Plum Line. That's what it is, from Greg Sargent's column today, which was really good. It was entitled, hold on, because I still have it up, because it's called Believe the Autocrat. And this is a clip from that. He views law enforcement as merely an instrument of his political will to be turned loose on his political opponents at his whim and to be weaponized against itself when it tries to hold him accountable.
Mm-hmm.
This is Trump's belief in law enforcement.
Yes.
And it's quite telling.
Is it? Yeah.
Yeah. Then there was an event at the EPA on hazardous water sites or something. And basically the press was not invited, not allowed there. Natalie Baptiste, I don't know who she is, but she tweeted, wow, when an AP reporter asked to speak to the EPA public affairs person, security guards grabbed her by the shoulders and shoved her out the building.
Right. They physically removed her that way. Exactly. That's been all over the place. And I don't know if I've seen it on TV yet. I'm sure it'll be brought up later today because usually the primetime shows bring that stuff up. But that is amazing.
I have
a
statement from the Associated Press on it. They put out a statement saying the Environmental Protection Agency's selective barring of news organizations, including the Associated Press, from covering today's meeting is alarming and a direct threat to the public's right to know about what is happening inside their government. It is particularly distressing that any journalist trying to cover an event in the public interest would be forcibly removed.
Well said. No, I mean, autocrat, he's dying to be Duterte. He wants to be
supreme
leader.
He'd
wear guns if he could.
He wants to be dear leader.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Trump tweeted that under our potential deal with China, they will purchase from our great American farmers practically as much as our farmers can produce. An empty wheel, Marcy Wheeler replied, Trump's trade deal. China can spy on America via ZTE hardware as much as he wants, and in exchange, Trump will send all the food we eat to China. And then the horse whisperer also replied to that and said, this will go down in history as the mission accomplished of the Trump administration. Talk about an overpromise. Yowza.
Actually, it'll go down as one of many missions accomplished because there are so many of them.
And meantime, that whole ZTE thing, a committee in Congress has already made that not going to happen today. There was a vote.
They overruled it, basically.
And then I think Trump said something like, yeah, no, that was always, of course. I mean, he said something that contradicted everything. So, all right. Ali Vaez, I hope that's how you say it. He's an Iran expert. He said, for those who are arguing that Pompeo has changed and is now trying to give diplomacy a chance, he is as much as a regime changer as Bolton. And then our buddy LOL GOP replied, these 13 demands are an excuse for war with Iran, and if they are consistent at all, make peace with North Korea impossible.
Yeah, we're screwed.
We are.
We really are.
We are. I don't know. I mean, if there's a way Congress can act, which they won't, to override whatever, I don't know if they can or if they're inclined to, if they get pushed far enough, if they get scared enough, but there is no check and there's no balance. So.
No.
Another Iran expert, whose name I didn't even bother to write because it was so long I couldn't pronounce it, said Pompeo promises, quote, strongest sanctions in history and that Iran will, quote, struggle to keep its economy alive. And then he says American sanctions are not intended as a tool of diplomacy. This is a declaration of economic war. Huh. And then LOL GOP replied to that, economic war that could lead to a real war to achieve a goal we'd already achieved.
Wow.
With the Iran deal. Hello.
Yep. Yep.
Oh,
yep.
Just like bang your head against the wall time. Adam Best, a film producer, said the first major opinion of Neil Gorsuch, the SCOTUS justice who was on the bench due to a stolen seat, is a decision allowing employers to steal wages from employees. Mm-hmm. The GOP truly created this monster in its own image.
Yep. Yep.
They are the, Republicans, Trump, one and the same, aiding and abetting, enabling, doing everything they can to let him get his way, because they're so afraid that if they, you know, stand with the Democrats and say, oh my God, we made a mistake, they will be out of power for a long time. So their power to them is more important than any of our safety.
Which is frightening.
Yeah, a little bit.
It is truly frightening.
Just a tad. The Texas Tribune tweeted, Governor Greg Abbott's reelection campaign has dropped a shotgun giveaway from his website. This comes after 10 people were killed by a student firing a shotgun and a .38 revolver at the Santa Fe High School last week. So Greg Abbott, wow, he had a shotgun giveaway up there and thought, yeah, you know what? That might not be the best idea right now.
Yeah, and it probably wasn't he who thought that. It was probably some staffer.
He'll
likely get fired for doing it.
Right. Okay, so then I just decided to put a little comic relief in here because we need some.
Yes.
This comes from Farf and Me, a follower of mine who's always joking around. And the tweet is, my friend Gil's dog, Clay, when asked if he would rather be Republican or dead, would fall over and lay on his back, feet in the air. I got to teach Hamilton that.
No kidding.
Would you rather be a Republican or dead? Hammy? And then he turns over and dies. That would be awesome. Today I taught him to drop it.
Did you?
I did, and he did it.
Cool. See if it works again tomorrow.
I will. a lawyer tweeted, a lawyer who, the name was just a fun name, but he's a lawyer, said, an awful 5-4 decision in Epic Systems written by Gorsuch lets employers force their workers to sign agreements that shunt them into a one-on-one arbitration, wiping out their ability to sue in federal court collectively, a massive blow to class action. And then Trinity Resists replied, this is what a stolen Supreme Court seat looks like. Yep. Meanwhile, Trump and the GOP are quietly installing judges for lifetime appointments at a speed and volume unseen before. Judges who reflect their agenda for decimating human rights. He's stacking the courts for generations to come.
Yeah.
And Norm Ornstein added, Gorsuch shows what we knew, a radical who will stick it to the poor. Shameful.
Yeah. What's going on in the courts right now is truly frightening.
It's truly frightening because these are generations long. The court appointments and the court, you know, whoever's getting in may or may not last generations, you know, depending on how old the judge is, but the laws then have to be overturned and we have to get new judges in, and that's what takes so long.
Well, the laws are made by Congress, right? It's the courts.
No, I'm talking about if they overturn their decisions or they I mean, look,
it's their decisions that last a lifetime.
Yeah, I'm sorry if I said that wrong. Yeah, because then it gets sent to the Supreme Court and that is stacked.
Yes, it is. And it could be stacked more.
Yeah. Did I say law? I did say laws. I'm sorry. Okay, so Jim Acosta of CNN said, there's now a White House military office coin. This is what you were talking about for the upcoming Trump Kim Jong-un summit. The North Korean dictator is referred to as supreme leader. This is exactly what you said. And Katie Annie Oakley, a follower of mine, says, wait, American taxpayers are paying for a coin that reveres and celebrates a North Korean dictator? Where is the Republican Party on this one? You know, those saber-rattling, constitution-hugging, flag-waving, fiscally conservative patriots that want America first.
They are missing in action.
It's insane. Okay, then Andy I love this. This is a little thread. I mean, it goes one and another and another. Andy Lassner, producer of The Ellen Show, said, I miss having a president. And then Preet Bharara says, I miss having a Congress. And then Jed Sugarman, an MSNBC legal expert, says, I miss having a Supreme Court.
I miss having a country we can, you know, be proud of.
I miss having some sanity.
I miss having a knot in my stomach all the time.
Okay, one more because I see we're getting into late time. Jesse McLaren of BuzzFeed tweeted, huge John Jr. announcement we've all been waiting for is here. Scoop by Fox News. He's giving his daughter a puppy for her birthday. And Quinn Cummings replied, the news is he didn't shoot it.
Ooh, snap. No kidding. Yeah, I don't think he knows what to do with live animals.
No, he doesn't. He gives it to the daughter and says, yeah, you do something with it. If you don't feed it, it's okay.
Yep.
We'll use it for pelts.
A reminder, today is primary day in, Arkansas, Georgia, and Kentucky, and runoff day in Texas, where four progressives face off against establishment Democrats. Let's get the progressives in there.
Let's do that.
Let's
vote.
Let's do it. All right. Gotta Laugh with us every Tuesday. Find her at Gotta Laugh on the Twitters and at laffiesplace.com at NicoleSandler.com. Thank you, Laffy.
Thank you, too.
Tomorrow, we're going to be speaking with our old pal Dennis Campbell, UK progressive from across the pond. He and I think are going to differ on the royals, but there's so much more to talk about, too. And, of course, the latest news. Thanks for listening, everyone. See you tomorrow.